This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And this is The Politics of Resignation. That's how Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig describes the American people's attitude toward the influence of money in politics. They don't like it, but they don't think anything can be done to change it.
In his recent book, Republic Lost, Lessig outlined his plan for wrenching control of the political system out of the hands of wealthy interest groups. He called for overhauling government by putting a critical mass of reform-minded politicians in office. But the question is how to get those people elected. This month, Lessig deployed his answer. He's here with us now. Professor Lawrence Lessig, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
So your battle plan in the fight for campaign finance reform is, ironically, to create a super PAC?
A super PAC to make it possible to end all super PACs. That's right.
Literally to end all super PACs.
Yeah, to make it so that no longer can people give unlimited amounts of money to these PACs, which then enter into races to defeat or to elect candidates.
So your super PAC, which launched at the beginning of this month, is called Mayday.
Mayday.
And what's it going to do?
Well, so what we want is a two-cycle strategy. By 2016, we have got to win this fight. Because if we don't win it by 2016, then this new way of funding campaigns will settle in and it'll be here till our grandchildren are around. So we've got to win it by 2016. In 2014, we're going to fight in five districts. And we're going to defeat people on the basis of this issue. And we're going to send a terror sign into Congress. When they think about this issue, they begin to wonder what happens when the Mayday PAC comes back in 2016. Now, to raise the money for those five races, what we decided to do, instead of going to just billionaires and saying, help us create a super PAC to make it so you don't have as much power as you have right now, we decided to kickstart it, meaning we said to the people, you make a pledge, and if we meet our goal, we'll collect your pledge. Because nobody believes people care about this issue. Nobody believes it's possible. So we wanted to do a series of steps. We said, let's first raise $1 million in 30 days. People said it was insane. There's no way to do that. We launched that on May 1st. And now just 9 days later, we're 70% of our way to that goal.
Already.
$680,000 that have been raised already. And when we meet that goal, the promise is we'll match it. And then we'll do another, more ambitious, $5 million in 30 days. And if we meet that goal, we'll match it. And then we'll have the money to demonstrate in 2014 that this issue can win. We can rally people to this issue so that in 2016, we can raise the really big bucks that it will take. We've calculated what we think this will be in order to win a Congress to pass fundamental reform.
Okay. So I understand that you're unwilling at this point in time to name the five races that
right.
you're looking at
right.
For understandable reasons. But you just mentioned that you have calculated how much it would cost, how much you'd have to raise to win enough votes in Congress or put enough new people in Congress to make fundamental campaign finance reform possible. What is that number?
Yeah, so our we spent a year having people calculate what they thought this would be. The crude number that basically says, look at contested races in the House and in the Senate. How much do they cost to win? The high estimate crude number that they came up with was $700 million. So that sounds like a lot of money when you think about it in the abstract. But when you think about it, breaking it down, and you recognize the number of Americans out there who are deeply committed to reform, not just from, you know, citizens up, but also, you know, billionaires down who think this system is broken, our government does not work, it's not an impossible number to imagine raising. And if we're successful in 2014 in taking out five of these congresspeople on the basis of this issue, I think that number is a wild overestimate.
Okay, so let's talk about the ramifications of just in the five races that you're going to choose to invest your money and time in. Because you're, as you've mentioned, just to underscore, your overall goal is to put enough reform-minded people in Congress that you do get legislative change in terms of, in the long run, in terms of campaign how democracy is financed, essentially, in the United States. But the New York Times has pointed out that one of the greatest risks of essentially fighting fire with fire is that all you get is more fire, that in these districts that you're targeting, super PACs designed to fight your efforts could just as easily spring up.
Yeah, and that's, I think, true when you have, for example, the super PACs that are going out there fighting for climate change legislation or fighting the NRA. Because there's another side to this issue. You know, look, I'm strongly in favor of climate change legislation. I'm strongly in favor of you know, sensible gun regulation. But, you know, there are two sides. People, you know, say climate change legislation will cost jobs and the Second Amendment protects the guns. But on this issue, who's going to stand up and say, no, 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 the billionaires, they really should be running the country. We should be giving the power that we've been giving to the billionaires and making it forever. Like, you can't take this issue on directly. And what we found from polling is that, you know, more than 90%, one of our polls found 91, the other found 96% of Americans believe it's important to reduce the influence of money in politics. It's not a left-right issue, Democrats as much as Republicans, as much as independents. We believe the system has been corrupted, and what we're trying to do through the Mayday Super PAC is to give people a way to imagine how it could be fixed.
Okay, so let's talk about this this political world that you're wading into, because as you well know, this year, recently, the Supreme Court ruled on its latest campaign finance case, McCutcheon versus the FEC, which basically, in their ruling, they lifted the aggregate limits on individual campaign contributions to a candidate or party. And ruling was based, or that argument was made on the basis of free speech, which is one thing. But I actually want to point out that many of the McCutcheon ruling's greatest supporter really have an issue with campaign finance laws overall. And they say that campaign finance regulation doesn't help democracy, and rather it hurts it, basically by protecting the establishment. So we have a little bit of tape here from Texas Senator and Republican Ted Cruz on this issue, speaking just last month.
Because campaign finance reform restrictions are always pitched as, let's prevent corruption, let's hold politicians accountable, and they do exactly the opposite. Every single restriction this body puts in place is designed to do one thing: protect incumbent politicians.
Your response to that, Professor Lessig?
Well, I actually agree that the way we've addressed this problem has been a mistake. We need to confront the fundamental fact that we have to change the way we fund elections. That's what we have to do. All the regulations that we've seen over the past 30 years have been about restricting the ability of people to participate. So when I look at the solution to this problem, it's about changing the way we fund elections. So John Sarbanes has a proposal called the Government by the People Act that would make it very easy to run successful small-dollar funded campaigns, bringing a large number of people into funding campaigns. And that would not protect incumbents. To the contrary, what we have seen in every state that has adopted something like this is more competition with the incumbents. So there's a lot to criticize with what we've done. But the idea that what we have is anything close to the democracy our framers imagined is just absurd.
So finally, I want to ask you, you write about your Mayday Super PAC and the idea of fully reforming campaign finance in America as a kind of moonshot for the American political system. But you also write that unlike the first actual moonshot the country did, this one doesn't require inventing any new technology or breaking any barriers of physics. All true, but I'd say it actually requires something probably more difficult, and that is changing human nature, and particularly amongst a certain group of people, namely politicians who would enact these laws. You've got to convince them and those who have funded them in the past to act in a way that's not in their own best interests.
Yeah, well, you've got to convince them that their best interest isn't to pass these laws. That's what we have to convince them of. But unlike other major changes we've had in American society in the last 100 years, like fights against racism, fights against sexism, fights against homophobia, it's not as if anybody really wants this system, right? Nobody's going to wake up and say, oh, I remember the good old days when, you know, we had the billionaires telling us exactly how to run our government. This is a change that just requires a change of incentives. And so what I think the moonshot requires is giving people the sense, you know, as Harvey Milk used to say, give them hope, give them hope. And at our site, may1.us, you can find a way to help us give America hope.
And that's May1, O-N-E.
.us.
Well, Lawrence Lessig is a Harvard University Law School professor and director of the Edmund J. Safra Center for Ethics at Harvard. He launched the May 1 Super PAC this month, and there's more information about it at radioboston.org. Professor Lessig, great to have you back.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And that's it for today and for this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a great weekend and join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.